Morning, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday Wake Up Morning Show with the Teach Better team. It is March 22nd, bright and early, and we are here to kick off midweek, making sure that you are feeling good, give you some humor, and then also like check in on you, how you doing. We have some discussions we want to get into, and we definitely want to brighten your Wednesday morning as you persevere through the rest of your week. So this would be a really good moment to like grab a cup of coffee if you haven't done so already. Katie, I think, forgot her creamer. So just good luck with whatever you are experiencing with your coffee this morning. But we also would really appreciate you jumping in the comments, saying hello to us, saying good morning. We always love to know who's live with us. And if you're catching the stream after the fact, you are welcome to obviously still comment. We still get notifications. Don't worry. If you are currently listening on Teach Better Talk podcast, shout out to you. And we'll be right back. Good morning, everyone. Happy Wednesday. Katie Miglin in the house. Hi, Katie.
Good morning, Ray Hewitt. I am so excited. I got to do the Sunday weekly warm-up and now the Wednesday wake-up.
Oh, yikes. Our community is probably really sick of your face.
Yes, they are. And then I can sleep in next Wednesday because then you'll all be sick of me and you won't see me.
That's true. And this Sunday, I think Jeff was going to do it, but now I think I'm doing it. So I'm used to people being sick of my face, but we don't want them to be sick of you. Come on.
Well, let's hope they're not. Let's hope it's still just enough, you know? We got lots of people in the comments though. So obviously they're pretty excited to be here.
Guys, it is so nice when we're live and we're like, oh, it's so early. I don't know if we should be doing this. And then people are like so sweet in the comments and jump in. And we're like, I always like am really tired up until I see people jump in the comments. And then I'm like, oh, I'm so sleepy. Oh, wait. Hi, Andrea. Hi, Julie. Hi, Carly. Like, it's just so funny.
Yes. I agree. I know. I feel like I'm like dragging into my office. And then as I sit down, I'm like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah, completely. But like, don't we do that in teaching where it's like sometimes even the drive to work, you're like, ugh, I wish I kind of maybe slept in or like,
wish I had better breakfast instead of like the healthy yogurt that I thought I should pack.
Right. Like, why am I here early to check emails? I could have skipped that and been a bad person, but gotten more sleep. And then you like sit down or like students walk in and you're like, oh, just kidding. I love my job.
Or it's like you pass the first coworker who's like bright eyed and bushy tailed. And then you're like, oh, like I remember, you know, just passing people on your way in and you're like, okay, yeah, I can wake up.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, to confirm, when I used to pass you in the hallway, you weren't bright eyed and bushy tailed. You were typically just like this, drinking your coffee, being like, meh. But I actually feel like it still worked. It was like, oh, Katie's here.
Well, you always used to get to work so early. So you were usually the one that was like, hey, good morning. How's it going? And I was like, oh, I'm still waking up. Give me a minute.
Yeah, good point. Okay. Who in the comments, and maybe this is telling because we're obviously live at 6 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Eastern. So we're getting a bunch of different time zones here as we're getting started. Who's like I go to school inappropriately early because I want to get things done? And who's I stay late or I use my time efficiently. Like, that's really what it is. Like, either you stay late and or use your time efficiently, or you get there, like, you're the first car in the parking lot. Like, that's who you are.
That was you always. Like, even the days that I was like, I'm going to get there so early, like an hour or 2 hours before the kids, your car would always be there. And I'm like, I think she sleeps here. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but to be fair, not that I'm like saying that I did it right at all, because typically, this is not something to be proud of, but I wouldn't stay late after school.
No, like, you wouldn't. You're right.
But you also were like crazy and super involved in everything. So I feel like you had this practice of like being at school later, and school ended for me in a half an hour after that. I was like, peace, I'm out.
Yeah, you really were. Literally, I felt like you would do the exact same thing to me. I'd be in the middle of talking to you and you're like, oh, gotta go.
Bye, leaving. Have a good day. Okay, wait. So I like this that we have a lot of early birds here.
Yeah, a lot of early birds.
But don't you feel like this is like totally the clientele who would say that. Like, hello, of course they are. They're up with us right now.
That's true. And looking at the names, a lot of these people are in the same time zone, which tells you that they're up even early.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's totally true. But so, I feel like I've talked to more and more people, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but because I know like on weekends, Ray, you're much more the person that like sleeps in. You like this, like the slower start to your days.
Yeah.
And sleeping in is like a relative term, you know, like it's not like you're sleeping until 2 in the afternoon. But I feel like the more people I talk to, and maybe it's more like people who have kids at home, but they are leaning more towards, they like to get up early, even though they may not love the time, they like to get up early to have some quiet me time. Like I keep hearing that from people. I just talked to a bunch of people this weekend. My daughter had a birthday party with some friends, and I was talking to them, and the one mom was like, yeah, I woke up with the kids and my whole day has been off. And I'm like, isn't that funny that when you're like out of routine, even when you think this is what I want, you know, when you're driving to school and you're like, I just want to sleep in today. But then when you actually do it, you're like, oh, I'm out of sorts. Like, this doesn't feel right.
Well, and I feel badly that like this is the case, but the reality is that over the last few years, I think we've just all really, really, really become so aware that personal time, even if it's 15 minutes, has extreme value. And I'm not like belittling what was our life prior to like the last few years.
Right.
I keep hearing it more and more that like even 15 minutes in silence or 15 minutes on our own before like either our biological students come in to bother us or our students come into the school.
Yeah,
like
right.
It just makes a big difference. So like being aware of that and being able to plan ahead is kind of big.
Okay. We have people who agree with us. Look at that. We're not crazy.
I will also note the comment from our private Facebook group. I know it's this Facebook user, but it says more difficult for me to join events in the evening because they're spent by then. That's how I feel. And I'm really struggling with like finding that balance. That's been a new thing for me, but something that I've really tried to find some balance in, because by the afternoon, if you've been up early, getting things done, working with students all day, by the afternoon, you're just like tapped out. This has been a thing even with my Instagram, not to like go into that if no one's interested, but I intentionally just started a second Instagram because I really wanted time to like curate my newsfeed so I wasn't consuming educational content. Not because I don't want like to consume educational content, it's fine. But typically when I don't want to consume educational content, it's because I'm like spent for the day. Like I can't think about education any longer. So I want to consume like the other stuff I like, I don't know, art and memes and whatever. And like, I don't know, it's just interesting how we kind of hit that wall where we can't be educators and consume educational content as easily anymore. And
well, it's that boundaries piece. You know, I think because of the world we're in, I just talked to an educator yesterday about this, and she was very adamant. She's like, I don't use my cell phone for anything other than calling people. And I was like, tell me more about that. And she's like, I never fell into the social media. She's like, I want like to be present in whatever moment. And I was like, that's such an interesting idea, because we have just slowly, maybe it wasn't slowly, maybe it kind of slapped us in the face, but we've become consumed with, we are accessible all the time. I mean, we know that if someone can't get a hold of us, if they don't have our phone number, their social media platforms, if, you know, email, I mean, there's just, you are available 24/7. Whether or not you choose to, you know, respond is a different story, but people are just consuming things. They're available there. It's just your job kind of takes over. Even in a world of education where it kind of took over our headspace regardless, now it really does, because our social media is education. You know, there's so many algorithms that even if you followed no educator and did nothing for your professional life, your algorithms are somehow going to still push it, you know, out to you. So it's just a crazy like shift, but I think it's good that we're mindful. I've been trying really hard. I know Dave Schmidl, he talked to us at a meeting one day about how he's trying to read more. I'm also trying to just read more, because guess what? You can't see any notifications in a book. You don't get any of that. But I want to also call out Dave, who's here. Okay, Dave, we can support you up to a point, but 4 a.m.?
Nope, too early.
Yeah, too much, buddy. Like,
That's like the time where you look at someone, you're like, they have one of those in the morning? I thought it was 4 p.m. I've heard of.
Well, then I'm like, yeah, I mean, you get up that early to catch a flight, Dave. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's different. That's different too. I don't know. Well, okay, so this is your morning reminder to like take a break. And we say that knowing that right now we're not talking about educational stuff. So you can come here just to hang out. Like we promise we won't provide value for another like 5 to 10 minutes. So
Yeah, I
like
mean, I'm on the show, which means that we've got until at least like halfway through before we talk about anything of value.
wait, can I talk about something that's not education related that I like don't know if I should be like publicly discussing, but
Oh boy. Oh boy.
okay, I need someone to know what happened in my life this morning. So like maybe I should just text you, but instead let's just talk about it here with all of our friends and family.
Okay, people, brace yourself.
I moved to like a new office space that has hardwood floors and like is just a it's a larger room. And so and there's like not as much furniture in here. Like it's not a finished room. So it has an echo, like a little bit of an echo. Do you know what I'm saying? Like
Yes.
because there's not a bunch of stuff in it. And Jeff like has in like in meetings and on phone calls, like mentioned like, hey, I don't like your audio on lives recently. What's different? And I'm like, oh, it's because of the room. Da, da, da. So I've been talking to Matt about like how I need to figure out like, do I put a rug in the room or like
Yeah, some
something.
sound thing.
Some sound thing. And I was talking to him and he was like, really, a rug? Like, is that going to make a big difference? I'm like, I don't know. Jeffrey Gargis is upset and I want to make sure Jeff is happy. Because guys, I live to make Jeff happy. Like that's my goal in life. So I come downstairs into this room this morning and I can't really describe what's going on in this room. There is, it looks as though there was an elementary sleepover that happened in this room because there is blankets and pillows and dog beds everywhere, all over this room, like covering the floor.
Who put these in there?
I assume Matt did. I don't know. Like I went to bed last night and like
I can't. I
I
can't.
so I came down here like bright and early. And it looks as though, and we have no kids in the house last night. It looks as though there was 10-year-olds who had a sleepover because it's just like blankets and like you cannot walk without touching a blanket or pillow in this room. And so and I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, last night, I guess he had this aha moment where he's like,
Right, like I'm gonna help.
I'm gonna be helpful. But they're not like positioned in any way that like makes sense.
Well,
Like
maybe he was like trying to prove a point. Like if we put something equivalent to a rug down, then we'll see if it works. 'Cause yeah, I mean, I'm kind of like I get,
but
don't
do
buy the
you
rug, it's not gonna
know
work.
has like, and I'm not trying to like gender, but like do you know as a woman you come down and you're like, why was this done this way? Where like these are
100%.
blankets and pillows from all different places around the house. So like there was an exploration that happened.
Yeah, oh yeah, he'd
Right.
spent some time. He
Yes.
has.
And then they weren't like folded or laid strategically or like right now there's like a spot where there's like blankets over pillows. I'm like, wouldn't you want to spread those out? Or
Here's
I
the thing.
don't
I
know.
really was waiting for you to tell this whole story and then it end with like you tripping over one of the blankets and like spilling your coffee, 'cause that has happened more than once on a Wednesday wake up with you and I.
Yes. No, this was me walking in and being like, did I miss a big activity last? And I stayed up late last night. I was
Yeah.
up with you last night. We
Yes, you
were
were.
doing our girls' night until like what, 10:30.
Yes, entirely too late.
So this happened what, like between 11 and 1 a.m. I have no idea when he went to bed, but like that's just saying. I'm just saying.
I agree. I think he's trying to help. I do agree that it is a little like where you're like, huh, this is really sweet, but also very confusing. And I don't, maybe he's gonna wake up and be like, you know, I just threw them all together. Like maybe there's a reason. I'm gonna guess there's probably not, but maybe there's a
I'm
reason.
just saying, the other reason could be that he slept down here last night.
I don't think so. I would guess it's
It looks like somebody made a makeshift bed and was like, maybe my friends are gonna come over. I'll grab all the blankets.
I don't think his thought process was, you know, it's a Tuesday night. I'm gonna sleep in a big empty room when there's spare bedrooms and a large couch. Like that, as an adult, you don't choose to sleep on the floor.
Wait, you say that, and then I was thinking, you are coming over to my house next week, and we did legitimately plan on sleeping in the floor so we could sleep in the same room. So
Okay,
I kind
that's
of think.
different. That's not like you in your own home making a choice. Should I sleep in the bed, the couch, a spare bedroom, or the floor? Like, people don't do that.
I'm just saying. So here's my question as we transition to our teachable moment in the show is in the comments, and we need all of you to do this. So like if you're stepping away from your phone, come back over here. Come on, come over here. Get ready to comment. Come over this way. I want to know what would it take for you to like sleep on the floor, a hardwood floor. And I just need like one example because I think as like parents, we could probably come up with a lot of examples. I need you to come up with one example where you're like, okay, fine. I'll sleep on the floor for that.
In
Like
your own house. I think
in
it's just,
your own house,
yeah, in your own house.
where you would choose to sleep on the floor, because that's what it looks like happened. Although I don't think that happened.
I think he would probably still be there.
Yeah, to be clear, like he's asleep in a different room right now. So I
Right.
know.
So I think that theory might be out the window, but
Well, he created
yes,
a
Bree, I'm
group.
with you. If my kids are sick, and honestly, I'm kind of a bad mom because I make them come and like lay on my floor, or we go to the couch or something. But yes, if your kids are sick, back pain, yes. I don't know if you're getting it or going to have it afterwards. It's hard to say, but
Yeah.
ooh.
Okay. This is an adult beverage comment. Okay, obviously, yes, that's a good one. Like if you need to sleep by the restroom when you're sleeping on the floor. But that's what it would take, right? Like it's
Like
not like
extremes.
yeah, it's an extreme circumstance.
I love that.
Can I just clarify also that this would not be the room you would sleep in if you were sleeping on the floor? Like there's other rooms that have carpeting or a rug that you
Right. I
would.
think the takeaway is that there was no slumber party last night.
Okay, but it
I
looks
think
like.
he's trying to help the sound or prove you wrong. It could be either. It could be, I'm going to try to help the echo. Or I'm going to show her that a rug won't solve the problem of the echo.
Well, this would be quite a an interesting rug setup. And if
Janelle's really nice. She'd sleep on the floor if she had family in town. That's kind of what you're doing when we come in town.
No, because I could sleep in a bed and we're going to choose because we want to sleep in the same room because we're 12. That's why. We'll be right back.
Is true.
Wednesday, wake up. I do want to apologize for what has been happening the last 10 minutes in the show because
Do you though? Because this is pretty typical for us.
know, but the like commercial played and I was like, come on, Katie, this is what happens in real life.
Come on, Katie, stop talking about your rug-filled office space.
Yeah. Okay, do you have carpeting in your office?
I have carpet everywhere. I'm a big advocate for carpet.
You don't have carpet anywhere, everywhere I've been in your house.
Okay, well, not in my kitchen, because that would be absurd.
Or in your bathrooms. There's no carpet in your bathrooms.
Thank God, because that'd be disgusting. No, I mean, we're like a carpet house. We don't have a lot of hardwood. We have hardwood in like food places or bathroom places. Everything else is carpet. I don't like socks or shoes. I like to be barefoot. I like to lay on the floor, not to sleep, just, be on the floor.
Can I just say that I don't know who needs to hear this, but I'm willing to like approve a Teach Better something gift card if you can prove that you have carpet in your bathroom. If anyone listening has carpet in their
Oh, Jesus.
bathroom, please tell me. I would love to.
One of Matt's cousins used to have it, and they bought a house that was like built in the 60s, and it
Yeah, or
literally had carpet everywhere.
60s and 70s. That was like a thing for sure.
And I always felt, I don't know why I felt so grossed out just using the bathroom. Like they were very clean people, but I
Sure.
was like, you don't know what's in this carpet. Like nobody knows what's in this carpet. And it was just,
But that's the case with any carpet. Like
no,
if
a
you bought
bathroom
a house,
different. Bathroom is different.
okay, but if you, in theory, if you bought a house and you didn't replace the carpet for a long time, you could make that same
This is
argument.
true. I also think maybe we should be teachable right now.
I think a teachable moment is to shampoo your carpets in the next 6 months. Teachable moment.
Great.
We'd like to.
We probably could do other teachable moments that are maybe more helpful.
We actually, so legitimately, this is terrible, and I'm sorry to admit this on live because whatever, we've already had this discussion. But Katie, you're literally only live because of what topic we wanted to talk about for the teachable moment, and
You're just using me.
it wasn't about shampooing the carpet, I will tell you that.
Good, because I don't want to spend the next 40 minutes talking about champagne on the carpet. Also, morning, Josh.
Hi, Josh. Morning. Okay, so here's the deal. So I was at a school on Monday.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. And I was driving home from the airport and I had this like moment where I was like, what content have we not discussed recently to our community that is a good March reminder? And I was driving on the highway and I was like, dun, 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 dun. I thought of it. So I called you
You
in the
did.
middle of the day. I don't know what you were doing. It was kind of the afternoon because you were doing drama club, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, Katie, I want to talk to you about this topic. Will you come live at 6 a.m. to talk to me about what I think is severely underrated in classrooms? And
Yeah.
you foolishly said yes.
I did.
So if I'm going to ask for the comments because I love the comments coming in. What do you think is severely underrated in the classroom? Like something, and we're gonna go like education. Like we're not being like goofy, although we clearly have messed that up already.
This
But
is what she's saying is we've decided at 21 minutes we're officially going to get into education talk. So it is not shampooing carpets. It is not rugs in your house. It's real. What
it's
do
not
you think
real.
is one thing that teachers often forget to plan in their lesson?
Yeah, like something that you're like, oh, I put very little effort into thinking
Yes.
about this, but when I do think about it, it makes a huge impact. But like, it's like severely underrated. Okay, I do really like Brianne's comment about like pencil sharpeners. That's totally severely underrated. Like a
It
great pencil
is.
sharpener, people don't tell you how big of an impact that has. Just saying.
Right. And they can take a lot of your time if you have a janky one that you have to fix often.
True. True.
Ooh,
Oh,
Janelle, that's a good one. How to
wrapping
wrap up
up.
at the end of the hour. Yep, that's a
Yes,
good one,
that's
but that is
huge.
not what we're talking about.
Wait, but that kind of is because
Yeah,
wrapping
that's true.
up, it's like very close to what we're talking about. It's like
True.
within that category.
You're getting warmer.
Yeah, reflections at the end of the lesson. Also good. Like, I feel like that kind of leads into it of what we're talking about. Okay, so I want to talk about transitions. And I know that's super silly, but I was thinking about what do teachers very commonly like overlook because we're focusing on so many like other things, whereas the reality is that if you have really clean and succinct transitions throughout the entire class hour, it makes a massive difference, and we very rarely talk about it.
Well, and two, I think it kind of goes hand in hand with the idea that you plan it as a reaction. So, we so often, and I know like we've talked about this in the past, you so often like kind of worry about the meat of your lesson. So the lesson as far as like what the content is, you worry about the content delivery, what are students going to be practicing, how are you assessing them? All those things sometimes drive your thought when you're thinking through your lesson plan. And then sometimes you're like, oh, okay, how am I going to hook them in, or what's the real, there's like some little things that kind of trickle. But it's almost like after you've had a group of students that don't transition well, that you're like, oh, I got to focus on this. And then you implement something. But really, the reality is you should be focusing on it in the beginning. You should be thinking through, because even students who transition super well in a class that is, well ran, they could benefit from clean transitions just as much as kids who couldn't, can't do that.
Well, and more often than not, to your point, educators are planning these like incredible activities for students. Like whether you're going like all out, like Instagrammable photo, or you just are thinking through like, hey, I have to have students practice a certain like problems. I'm gonna cut them up and paste them all over the room. Like there's so many ways to deliver activities that I think it's totally undervalued how you're going to get them into the activity and out of the activity. And this isn't just like transitioning into the room and out of the room, which I do think is super, super important, but even like transitioning from like mini lesson to activity or activity to reflection time, whatever your classroom setup is, and however long your class hour is, the reality is that regardless of what grade level you're at, you're probably doing like 7 to 8 transitions and like within that period of time with students at minimum. And we don't even think about it. Like, that's not, I don't know. And
Well, I guess let's first define what a transition is, because I think that sometimes can be that can vary. So if you're a teacher that has the same group of students for a sustained period of time, so I'm kind of thinking like elementary, where you might transition in between subjects but keep the students. So to me, those transitions are not only in between courses, like subject areas, but they're also in between anytime students leave your classroom. So if they're going to lunch, library, PE, any of those things where they have to leave and come back, those are transitions. If you need them to get materials and then like prepping for an activity, that's a
That's a
transition.
transition. That's the one I think that is like
Yes.
not thought about. Like I'm going
Yes.
to explain directions and then you have to actually do something. Like anytime
Yes.
a teacher is explaining something and expecting a reaction from students,
Yep.
that's a transition.
And then also, like, even if you're a secondary teacher and you only have students like for, maybe a 90-minute block or 45 minutes, whatever it is, you even though you have transitions where students enter your classroom and leave your classroom, you still have transitions in between things, giving instructions. If you transition between, like, if you're
Attendance.
doing a mini lesson and then you get into the grid, like, there's anytime students are changing what they are doing is considered a transition. And so it's, yes, you have to give it thought, but sometimes it can be overwhelming to think, what am I going to do for the 8 transitions I have in 45 minutes? But I think you and I have kind of learned over the years that there's some things that are like tried and true will work. And then other things that, maybe are like on your back burner that if you need tricks for a group that really struggles with transitions. So, for me, it was like music. I always used music as a transition because it was easy. I always had Spotify open. I know I've talked on here before, but my kids always picked like their songs to play in our classroom playlist. So I would literally just like play a song and I would say, you have until the end of the song to transition until whatever, whatever I needed. And that was easy, quick, required very little like pre-prep. I had to have Spotify up, but that's it. And that was something I could lean on all the time because even the best group of kids loved it. And then, the kids that struggled, they like could get into it.
Well, and it's a cue that you can be consistent with. I think
Yes.
the key with transition is having very clear expectations during the transition, which is the
Yes.
hardest part of transitions. So
Yes.
if you have a norm that music is when the transition is occurring and when the music like fades away, the transition should conclude. That
Yep.
actually in and of itself is a really, really, really good rule. I think the other thing, this came up because I was doing PD with a group of educators. It was a super small district, like kind of outside of Columbus,
Yeah.
and it was a K-12. So like we had like all different grade levels, everything. And I made the dumb mistake. I was doing an activity, by the way, shout out to Dave Schmidt who gave me this activity. But it essentially was an activity where in a minute I was going to have them pair up with somebody in the room to
Okay.
do a 2-minute activity. And I made like the stupid premature teacher thing where I told them they would need a buddy in a minute and instantly they weren't listening and they were looking around being like, you, me, lab partner, they have
Yep.
one over here. And you're like, you're not listening anymore. Like, but that's such a like a teacher move where
Yeah.
even like explaining steps for a transition has a specific strategic order for it to go well. You can't tell them that they need a buddy before you explain the directions. You have to explain the directions and then explain that they need a buddy because that they'll hear the directions more efficiently. And like that's why I feel like it's so underrated because even if you play music during a transition, which is an awesome opportunity to pace your transition so it doesn't take too long, there's more that goes into it outside of pacing. It's language and all
Yep.
those elements as well that again, so underrated.
Well, and two, I mean, you kind of said this, but if you know that, let's say your transition is simple, you're like, I need you guys to go grab your writing notebook and come back. That's simple enough. But if you need them to go grab their writing notebook, then go grab a purple marker and then sit by their writing partner, they're going to do the first step and then they're going to completely forget because guess what? Adults do it too. We see it all the time. I mean, look at anytime you're sitting in PD and a speaker gives instructions, everyone is kind of lost because you start talking to somebody, maybe you start dancing if you're playing music. So I would encourage you, if you think through, if you're like thinking through your transitions, anything that requires, I would say like 2 or more steps, have it in writing so a student can look up and see, okay, wait, I just did this. What am I supposed to be doing? Because it's going to save you time from constantly saying, don't forget to do this, don't forget to do this, because then it's like, then you've exerted all this energy for something you could have easily just typed or put on your board and moved on.
Yeah, writing or a visual. Like, I think it's really nice during a transition if you know there's three things you need them to do. Like, an easy thing is have students hold up the number three, even if they're high school students. Like, because when you have this as a reminder, then when you get up, you're like, oh, there were three things I have to do. I had to get my notebook, but there was something else. What were the other two things? Like, it's like that physical reminder.
Yeah, I do that when I go grocery shopping. I'll walk into the store with like the number of items I'm supposed to walk out with. And then I usually still have it up, but I have the same number in my cart. And I'm like, I don't think any of these things I needed.
But the other thing is, like, if you don't have effective transitions, then hiccups come about where it's like, okay, I only need you to go get your notebook and come back. But then they're going to like goof around and bump into their friends or like, then they're like tripping over a desk and they're laughing at each other. Like, how are you going to dismiss them in a way where they can easily access their notebooks? Or how can you set up your classroom so they can easily walk to the notebooks versus like jumping over a chair? And these are just like, again, it's going to be totally specific to the classroom, the teacher, where things are located. But how many of us have made that mistake where the notebooks are in the back of the room, but by simply putting the notebooks in the front of the room for that one moment where they needed to grab it, your transitions would have been more succinct because they either coming up to the room has less freedom for the students to goof off or like anything else. This is like something that it's hard to give suggestions because it really is so specific to what your room looks like, what you need, your teacher focus, and kind of everything else.
And two, think through when are the transitions happening, because that obviously is like an interruption in your instruction or in like the learning. So if you are thinking they're going to need this and then we'll do something for a few minutes and then they need something else or we're going to transition, like making it choppy is really hard for our brains to constantly go back and forth. So if there's an opportunity for maybe when students walk in, and you know, we've talked about this before, but if you have certain things they need, and then you can just put a note, like put all these things under your desk, you will need them today. But then it helps them get that like sustained thought process on whatever task you're looking for versus constantly moving around. But also like strategically place them. If you know you've got like a big chunk of time that you want them to be working on something, you're doing a lesson, whatever it is, can you create a transition somewhere in the middle so that they're getting up, they're moving, there's some, you know, movement to kind of reset their brain versus like being like sitting and sustaining an energy on one thing for a while.
You are so spot on. And I feel like that's something I believe in and totally screwed up on Monday, because I always when teaching middle school, the first thing they did was they had to match their desk to the picture on the smart board, and it included everything they needed. So if they needed their notebook, if they needed a highlighter, if they needed a pencil, computer open, it was like match your desk. And then the transition was, when your desk is matched, I'll let you know really what we're focusing on versus what we're not in this moment, but everything was there. So you didn't have to transition to go get something. You were doing it. You were like kind of front loading it all. And I didn't do that for my Monday PD. And yet the first opportunity they had, that was like a, it was like a 30 minute work session, I walked around after 15 minutes and there was still teachers that were like, oh, my computer's rebooting. Oh, I needed to like plug in my laptop. And I'm like, this is 15 minutes of a 30 minute transition. Like, you should be getting to work. And then I had this moment where I was like, why? A middle schooler would be doing the exact same thing.
Well, and I think we forget that, like, yes, they're kids and it's so easy for us to get frustrated. I know we all can sit and list things that like are our pet peeves, not having a charged laptop, not having a pencil, all these things. But I promise you, next time you're at a professional development day with your staff, look around, because adults are literally the same thing as kids.
Yeah.
So it's important for us, if we're teaching adults like you and I are now in that, you know, that realm where we're working more with adults, or if you're working with kids, we are human. That's what it comes down to. It doesn't matter what your age is. You are human. You are forgetful. And so giving them all the things that they need early on helps them be successful for whatever is coming. But then, yes, creating transitions. I know, you know, you and I have talked about this. We were at a PD together a couple weeks ago and I was really struggling. We had like, they were working on something for a few hours and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting bored with this task. Can only imagine them. And you came in, you're like, oh, my group's taking a break. I'm like, I should have done that. You know, like just thinking through those things of like, you know, you, what you need, but also being mindful of like, we are human. We need breaks. We need reminders. All those things are normal. And so how can you make them smooth in your classroom is super important.
Okay, so to recap, because I don't think we gave any answers because this is so personalized, but like right. Overarching reminders, there is transitions where you need to consider like the time of the transition. I yep. love the music suggestion because essentially we're looking at like, how are you going to pace? Mm-hmm. Essentially transition is its own activity, right?
Yes. So
like, how are you going to pace this activity to be whatever pacing you're comfortable with? If you're yep. comfortable with a longer transition or a shorter transition, just make that decision. I really like the music idea, but if that doesn't work for you for some reason, find your own. Like a timer is a good suggestion. Things like that where students are aware of how much pacing time is left. The second thing we talked about is like language in an order that keeps the learner's attention. So like yeah. you're giving them information you need them to hear in a way that they hear the whole message, because we know that certain things we're communicating will distract them. And that's a human nature. It happens with everybody, even ourselves when we're in PD. So thinking through like, I'm going to give you the important information and then something that might distract you is going to come at the very end. So it can be a part of our transition yeah. with the whatever movement might come. And then thinking through what like physical or visual reminders can you give the students to successfully transition well? So if they have to do something specifically, is there something they can hold with their hands or something mm-hmm. you can put on the board that really, really helps them understand what the focus should be? Because it's easy to get, you know, like not focused during a transition. And I would say like more is more, right? Yeah. So like three visuals on the board, three different pictures of the three things you have to do is great. You can also do the physical thing with the fingers. And that's not too much. Like
no.
more is more.
Just yeah, more. Right. Because it's going to help different types of students and their different types of learners. So.
And then also, is there a way, I think like the last part of this is like, is there a way where you can transition the least amount of times is also something that came up. So like, can you do a big transition in the beginning so you really okay. don't have any throughout the day, which is not possible because obviously you transition multiple times, but different right. ways. Or are you going to have like an enormous amount of transitions where they have to get up and go get a highlighter and then sit back down and get up and go get a notebook and then sit back down? That's a strategic choice.
Yeah.
For some groups that might be needed, but like, should you clump your transitions or do it all at once? That's
yeah, just it really it comes down to being mindful of the transitions. And the comments are amazing. We've got tons of people who are throwing ideas, being, you know, doing a countdown. I know I did that too. The get ready, do, done. Love that. But yeah, just being strategic with the plan of like whatever you want. If you are planning a lesson and you want there to be a lot of little transitions because that is the nature of the lesson, fine. If you want it to be like a one and done where they're getting everything they need and then kind of sitting back down. But whatever it is, the takeaway today is give it thought. Really be yes. mindful of what your plan is and then kind of stick to it. And I would say too, like we've kind of seen in the comments, you and I have said like having that consistency. If you want to do a countdown, if you want to do music, whatever it is, but make sure that students know, because that's going to help their memory of like, oh, we're transitioning. So if they missed you saying something, then at least they hear the countdown or they hear the music, they hear whatever, and then they know I've got to go do something. I'm doing something different.
And so I will say, Katie, as much as we feel like this is important, and I'm so glad that our community is like giving ideas to support us and being better, this is also something that really shows in an evaluation. And I don't mean to like say that that's the time that matters, but whether your principal is in your classroom or you have like stakeholders in your classroom, or on the flip side, if you're a leader and you're doing something with your staff and people are seeing, like, this is what people notice.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Like when you're working with students or when you're working with adults in any circumstance, a mm-hmm. strong transition shows a strong educator, I think mm-hmm. 99% of the time. So well,
it shows that you're a good planner, that you've really kind of thought through all the pieces and that it's not like an afterthought, which is it's important.
A good planner and a good communicator, like yeah. that it shows that you have like strategy to understand people. And yeah. like that really is big anytime we're doing any sort of instruction. So mm-hmm. this is my hot take.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray. Underrated. Look at us. We can like be educational.
Yeah. You know what we could do? We could either talk more about all the pillows and blankets on the floor, or we could go into maybe our community spotlight.
Ooh, a hard pick. Community spotlight.
Okay. Hey everyone, welcome back to our Wednesday Wake Up, streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. We are jumping into our community spotlight, which is when we get to highlight a member of our Teach Better community, our Teach Better family, and make sure you are connected to them because mm-hmm. we have constantly people in our family that are doing just super cool, awesome things. And mm-hmm. why not highlight them to make sure that whether it be on social media or just on a personal level, you're connected to them. Katie, last night you and I had a bunch of meetings together. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, I do. I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like you and me for hours meeting with people on the team, which yep. was fun. Yeah. And then at the end of our meetings, there was a ambassador exclusive training, which like yes. is only available to our ambassadors. Shout out to Andrea and Megan and the entire ambassador PD leadership crew that yep. plans those things. I know that I think Carly is in the comments mm-hmm. and Brianna Shaner is big in that. So like, shout out to all of you making all that possible, because that's just super cool that mm-hmm. every single month there's an opportunity for our ambassadors to get this like exclusive training. Anywho, I went to it last night and it was so good. And it was by a member of our Teach Better family. And so even though all of you couldn't necessarily join that exclusive training, I definitely want to highlight the speaker that shared, because there's so much to learn from this educator. It was super cool. So I'm going to jump into that. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I know that you are familiar with Henry, but I want to maybe take a second to familiarize all of you if you are not following him. Henry Turner is not only available on Twitter, but also on Instagram. He's a really wonderful principal, I think in the Massachusetts area. I think.
Okay.
And just he's a high school principal. And so yesterday we were joking about like what's going on in high schools right now. There's so many different things to do, but he also published a book that I know a lot of people have read. And if you have not read it, you can add this to your list. He wrote Changing the Narrative. So Henry does a lot of PD on a bunch of different things, but one of the key things that he is doing work on right now is focusing on like supporting all different types of students, regardless of their demographic and their background. Mm-hmm. And he has not only personal stories of this, but also the work he's doing on a day-to-day is just a huge deal. So Change the Narrative is a great book. It came out, I feel like, a few years ago. It's not new, but definitely something to like jump into if you haven't read it yet. And just a really good guy, super good guy. And we actually, shout out to Josh and Jeff. We actually met him recently at FETC. So it was cool to like walk by him. I like walked by the table that he was sitting at. And then I like awkwardly like backed up and was like, "You're Henry Turner." And he was like, "Yes, Ray Hewer, good to meet you." And I'm like, "Oh, is this weird that I like interrupted your conversation by walking by and then like awkwardly backing up and then yelling your name in your face? I apologize."
I mean, you're pretty good at being awkward on first introductions, I'm not going to lie.
I like meeting people in person, but I feel like I only know people's profile photos sometimes. Right. So you walk by and you're like, "Oh, random person." And then you look at their face and you're like, "Oh, I know you."
Or it's okay. Creepy. I also think it's always interesting when someone's like, "Oh, let me introduce you." And you're like, "Oh, I know them." And then you realize, "Oh, you don't, you just know them from social media." And you're like, "Yeah, we met on internet. I don't."
Well, that's kind of what happened, where I was like, "Oh my God, Henry Turner." And he's like, "Yes, that is my name." And I'm like, "Oh, sorry. Like you knew that, but like, I also knew."
Right. Like I'm a big fan.
So he's a good guy. And also just like a nice, humble guy. Like, I feel like when you become an author and your like book blows up, you kind of have this moment where you could like turn into a jerk.
Right. Like you could kind of get a big head. I get that.
Yeah. Like Henry's not like, he's just like a cool dude. Like we not only met him awkwardly at the table, but then like we hung out with him the rest of the time and he came to the networking event with us and stuff like that. So he's just like a good guy that like is doing cool work in education. So definitely somebody that I would encourage you all to like direct message, and mm-hmm. he would respond to be like a normal person. Like he's just a cool dude. So
Ray, I wish you wouldn't have gotten such a big head when you wrote a couple books.
I mean, I'm a really big deal. I don't know if you've heard the like learning that we've discussed so far on the show. But
yeah, you're such a big deal that you have a bunch of blankets on your floor right now.
I know, like, not to brag, but like, I have access to multiple throw blankets if any of you need any. Oh my
gosh, you're so cool.
So cool. I think there's another segment in this show. Morning challenge. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
I haven't done the show in a while. I didn't know what the title's right here. Morning Challenge. Morning, everyone. We are wrapping up Wednesday Wake Up. And just like Katie, I was checking my phone during that transition, and Jeff was telling me that I did something wrong and I have to fix it later. So, yippee.
I was just following Henry Turner.
Oh, nice. Jeff was telling me that there's a typo in the emails that are being sent out every single day this week, and it's Wednesday. So is it bad? Guys, if there's an email that has been scheduled Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and it has a typo in it, then, and you only catch it by Wednesday, is it really worth going in and changing two emails? You've already gotten it with the typo three times.
I think it depends on what the typo is. The other day you were promising cars. So I feel like
I think that's the typo we're talking about. There's two typos in the emails that have been sent out this week.
That's good.
One is support without the T, which it's like, you guys probably know it's not going to be support. It's support, right?
Yeah.
But then the giving away the car thing was funny. Like, it's supposed to say card. We're giving away a Starbucks card, but instead it's a Starbucks car. And I'm like, yeah, we are.
I think it's great. I think just leave it. And then when people are like, can't wait to get my Starbucks car, and they just get a gift card, then it's, you know, then it's funnier. I don't know.
I just feel like
preach, there's Carly. Yeah. Typos prove we're human.
I'm not saying that it's okay to have a typo and we shouldn't like proofread our work and everything else. I'm just saying that, like, when you've already done the work 99% of the way, do you have to finish that 0.1%?
I just want to know, what would you say to a student who almost has mastery?
No, this is mastery. It's just not perfection. I sent the email. You can get the message. You know what I'm talking about. This is not a confusion. It will take one person out of the 30,000 people that get that email. It'll take one person that will be like, they're giving away a car. Like, everyone else knows that we're not.
I don't know. I'm still waiting for my car.
And can I just say also, sorry, Jeff, you're not listening to this, so it doesn't matter. But like, the typo for support is in the Wednesday thing, which means it already went out and it's already something that everybody in the community is going to be reading. Because if you're doing the birthday challenge, you have to read today's prompt to be able to do it. And so I'm like, the biggest typo is our, like, done now. Like, you've
it's passed.
It's passed. Like, I could fix it, but the moment you're going to actually focus on it is today, and it's already been sent. So
I think Ray's challenge is to fix her typos.
No, my challenge is to evaluate if it's worth your time fixing your mistakes. That's my challenge.
Because you should never reflect and improve and be a little bit better.
Okay, so like next year when it's our 9th birthday, I'll make sure the emails don't have the same typos. Okay. But the birthday, yeah.
Do you want to give a real challenge or?
No, I just want to tell our people that there's a birthday challenge and we're giving away over a $500 prize, one of which includes a Starbucks card, not a Starbucks car. And it'd be really cool if it was a Starbucks car. But anyway, so if you're not participating in that, shame on you, you should. Our real official Teach Better birthday is this Friday, which is kind of exciting. It's our 8th birthday as a community, so it's kind of fun. And then in the comments, we're going to give you a real challenge here in a second, but in the comments, if you could give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down if I should go change the email for Thursday or Friday, let me know. Otherwise, just like go with a no, and
ask them and then tell them what to put.
Put a no, but put it in the comments. If you put a yes, I will go in and change it. It's no big deal. It's not like my time is valuable or anything. Katie.
Okay. On that note, thank you, Josh.
God, my mom's in the comments and she's telling me to go fix it. Mom.
Thank you, Julie. Also, Julie, let's talk about you making me a sweater because I heard you're rocking those. Anyway.
Wait, Josh says to change it. Carly says no. And my mom comments.
Yes, right now the comments are saying you need to change it. And your mom says it's a legal thing. I'm not buying anyone a car. So
Yeah, this is getting into, remember the Netflix show, if you guys ever
Yes.
the documentary where they
Where's my
promised
jet?
Pepsi promised a jet.
Yeah. It's Teach Better is going to have a new documentary that's Where's My Starbucks Car? Any hoot and holler. Okay. So, oh, mom knows best. Looks like you need to change it. Looks like you got a couple things to do today.
Mom, why are you watching the show with early go to bed?
Julie, I love that you're in the comments. Save me. Anyway, so let's do like an actual challenge, not a Ray is sitting in her feelings challenge.
I don't want to do a challenge. My mom's going to tell me that I'm a disappointment to her later today.
Okay, I'm gonna let you sit in your feelings and I'm gonna provide a challenge. My challenge to anyone listening is to think through your transitions. We've been saying that, but my actual challenge, like specific, something you can try this week is, stop
Ready.
it,
I'm ready.
is to come up with a creative way that students know they are transitioning, whether it's music, a countdown, holding fingers, whatever it is, not holding the finger, holding fingers. But come up with a way that you can transition in your classroom and be intentional and see if you can do it for like an entire day. Like every transition you are mindful of and you plan out and see how smooth your day goes. And then get back to us and let us know.
Katie, that was a really good
Yeah,
challenge.
how are you feeling? Are you back in like Ray, I'm an educational leader mode, or are you still sitting in your
I'm
feelings?
sitting in my feelings because you said holding fingers, and all I could do was think about like linking.
Okay, help. Help.
Right, friends, thanks so much for joining our Wednesday Wake Up. We're so thrilled that we were able to have such deep educational discussions and be part of this incredible community. Do not forget that the Teach Better Birthday Challenge is happening all week. Hopefully, you win that incredible prize. I cannot wait to see who wins that one. And not a car, it's a card, card with a
And
D.
you get lots of support. Cheers to support in cars, friends. Happy Wednesday.
Bye, guys.